So on New Year's Eve, Pope Francis was strolling around the giant nativity scene that's at Vatican Square. And after shaking many, many hands, the Pope turned to walk away. And a woman in the crowd desperately grabbed and tugged on the Pope's arms, causing the 84-year-old pontiff nearly to go down in a heap. And then Pope Francis did something really unusual. He lost his patience in public, swatting the woman's hand twice and then rebuking her in public. The next day, Pope had to preach on New Year's Day. His sermon was on how patience overcomes power. Oops. And the Pope strayed away from his sermon notes, and he offered an apology for his anger, for his outburst, his behavior. Many times we lose our patience, the Pope said. I do too, and I'm sorry for yesterday's bad example. The Pope's not perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Only Jesus was without sin. But the Pope was a good example of what to do when you lose your cool. He apologized in public. Did anyone lose their patience over Christmas break? Anyone lose their cool over? I see some hands. I wasn't even asking them for volunteers, but thank you. I appreciate it. I got some willing volunteers like, yeah, that's me. That sometimes happens when family suddenly finds itself together under the same roof again. That sometimes happens when Christmas dinner takes an hour longer than anyone had intended and you get hangry. You ever get hangry? I love that. That's the best new word in the last couple years, hangry. I know what it's like to be hangry. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah. Maybe you get angry because your lofty expectations for Christmas were not met. Maybe you get angry at Christmas time because someone hurt your feelings. We all know what it's like to be angry. And it might not be too late to say, I'm sorry. Today's scripture comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. A leper comes up to Jesus and he begs for healing. And Jesus is indignant. Jesus heals and dismisses the leper with a stern warning. Now, Jesus was without sin. But the Gospel of Mark reminds us that Jesus had every human emotion, including anger. And we're going to talk about that anger today as we open up the scriptures. Hear the good news that Jesus can take that which is unclean and make it clean. From Mark 1, 40 through 45. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. Snort. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. God's word. Lepers were social outcasts, The Old Testament commanded that lepers must be removed from society in order to protect everyone else. The book of Leviticus, chapter 13, verse 45, declares, "Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothing. Let their hair be unkempt. Cover the lower part of their face and cry out, 'Unclean! Unclean!' As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp." Lepers were homeless. Lepers were homeless. They were forbidden to live within the walls of Jerusalem or any of the ancient cities. Lepers were routinely kicked out of their homes and their neighborhoods in order to prevent widespread contamination. Religious leaders threw stones at them and shouted, "Go to your place and do not defile other people." Lepers that got too close to other people were given 40 lashes with the whip, which was basically a death sentence when your skin does not heal properly, right? The rabbis would say that healing a leper was as unlikely as raising the dead. We're talking about Jesus today, though, aren't we? We got some confidence about raising the dead. And we hear some good news about a leper that's made clean again. Now, in today's story, the leper is breaking the law when he gets too close to Jesus. He's not supposed to be this close. Jesus was ritually pure. Jesus was ritually clean. What that means is that Jesus was qualified to teach and preach in the synagogue. Jesus was qualified to touch people, right? And heal them of their diseases. Jesus was qualified to go over to your house for dinner and eat with you because he's not going to contaminate you. He's safe to come to your house, right? Now, lepers, they're dangerous, right? They will mess up your house. They will mess up your cleanliness. They will make you dirty. You won't be able to go to the synagogue, or if you do, you have to go behind a separate special screen. Lepers were dangerous. But not for Jesus. As we shall see in today's story, no one can make Jesus unclean. No one can make Jesus unrighteous. Mark 1:41 tells us that Jesus felt indignant. Do any of you have your Bibles open this morning? Okay. Some of your Bibles might say that Jesus felt compassion. Some of your Bibles might say that Jesus felt pity for the man. But the oldest and most reliable Greek manuscripts of the Gospel of Mark use the word orgazomai. That word is Greek for angry. Okay? That's what that word means. Those are our oldest documents of the Gospel of Mark. Mark 1:43 says that Jesus silenced the leper and sent the leper away with a strong warning. Did you hear when I said snort? I did that for a reason. The Greek word translated as strong warning is embryomaumai. I love this word. It is such a cool Greek word. It means scarcely controlled animal fury. It doesn't quite get it to say strong warning, does it? Scarcely controlled animal fury. Or it can mean to snort angrily like a horse. My translation, no one listens to me, but I would translate it, Jesus was snorting mad, okay? That's how I would translate it. That's the best way I can describe what's happening in the Greek version of the, Jesus was snorting mad. Translators prefer softer language like indignant. You know that means angry, right? But they don't actually use the word angry. And strong warning or stern warning. Because we don't know what to do with Jesus' anger. There are several theories why Jesus lost his patience in today's story. One possibility is that the leper was doubting his willingness to heal him. Maybe that's why he was angry. Angry at the leper for even doubting his willingness to heal him. That seems unlikely because Jesus is still upset even after he heals the leper, right? Another possibility is that Jesus was angry because the leper interrupted his preaching ministry. I find this unlikely because we know that Jesus sometimes stopped his sermons to heal people right in the middle of the message. By the way, that's a great sermon illustration. I wish I could do that myself. I don't have that kind of, that dose of the Holy Spirit. A third possibility is that Jesus was angry because the leper broke the law by invading his personal space. And some scholars have suggested that the leper may have actually fallen on his knees and grabbed Jesus' legs. A leper touching him without permission might have made him angry. Well, that would make someone angry. But that seems really unlikely, right? Because Jesus deliberately touches the leper when he heals him. Jesus could have healed him from 100 yards away and walked away, right? Jesus is very intentional. He touched him. I don't think that's why he was angry. That doesn't seem right to me. A fourth possibility is that Jesus was angry because he already knew that the leper was going to reveal his secret identity. Now, we're studying the Gospel of Mark over the next 3 months, okay? And as we study it, you're going to see something repeated again and again. It's a theme in the Gospel of Mark called the Messianic Secret, which means Jesus doesn't want people to know he's the Messiah until the end of the story, right before he goes to the cross, okay? It's called the Messianic Secret. Keep it, shh, don't tell anyone about this, shh. The theory is that this guy is going to blow his identity, that Jesus knows who this guy is inside and out, and he knows that the leper is a blabbermouth and that he's been out in the wilderness for years with no one to talk to, and finally he's clean. He's going to go back to the cities. He's just going to run his mouth off about Jesus, and he doesn't want to ruin the surprise that Jesus is the Messiah. Maybe. That's possible. But if that is the truth, it didn't stop Jesus from curing the leper, which is the biggest publicity of all, that Jesus was the Savior of the world. No, I think the most satisfying answer about why Jesus was angry was that he wasn't mad at the leper at all. He was angry about evil in the world. Jesus was angry that this leper suffered from disease. Jesus was angry that this leper had to become a social outcast. Jesus was angry that the leper still had to go to a priest to get permission to re-enter society. Jesus was angry because God never intended humanity to suffer or be excluded like this. This is not the way things were supposed to be in creation. This evil is a consequence of human sin in the world. Now, I like this solution best because it reminds us that Jesus was always righteous, even when he was angry. Jesus was always righteous, even when he felt angry. You know Jesus got angry, right? Have you read the Gospels? Remember that part about the flipping at the tables of the money changers? Remember that? You think he was happy when he was doing that? Or when he grabbed the whip and started chasing the animals out of the temple, you think Jesus was smiling when he did that? Mm-mm. Or how about some of the things he said to the religious leaders? You don't get to talk to people like this. Jesus does, okay? Just pause. He's righteous when he called these religious leaders accurately hypocrites, the blind leading the blind, whitewashed tombs, yikes. A brood of vipers. Those are tough words, but it's righteous judgment on people that were not behaving the right way. Now, Jesus felt angry sometimes, but he doesn't allow those negative emotions to cause him to sin. The Apostle Paul differentiates the two in Ephesians 4:26. He says, "In your anger, do not sin." The sin is not the anger. The sin is what happens when we let our anger out in unrighteous ways. We all feel angry sometimes, but we don't have to follow our unrighteous desires and use our anger to hurt, to wound, to destroy. What do you do with your anger? Do you hide away? Do you lash out at others? Do you just quietly end the friendship? Even when he was genuinely angry, Jesus found a way to heal the person in front of him. He's angry, and he found a way to heal the person right in front of him. Jesus took an unclean leper and made him clean. Jesus took his anger, and he somehow found the way to make it clean. If you want to evaluate your own anger this morning, how you use your anger, here's a simple way to evaluate whether your anger is righteous or unrighteous, okay? Real simple. Unrighteous anger destroys. Righteous anger heals. Unrighteous anger wounds. Righteous anger makes the world a better place. On Christmas break, my family spent a few days visiting my dad in Seattle. While we were down there, my dad invited me to come to church with him, First Covenant Church Seattle, on Saturday morning, because my dad often cooks for the homeless there on Saturday mornings. And he invited me to help, and I thought, wow, what a great treat, right? To go to downtown Seattle, my childhood church, and to feed the hungry with my dad. And I have to admit, it was kind of nice not being in charge at a church event of anything. The lady who ran the show told me to make orange juice. And then she yelled at me for making orange juice the wrong way. My dad was laughing at me, because usually he has to make the orange juice, and usually he gets yelled at for taking the same shortcut that I took, the same smart shortcut, making orange juice the right way. I flipped pancakes, I took out the garbage, I did whatever they told me to do. It was kind of nice. I liked it. More than 100 people, homeless people, descended into the basement of First Covenant Church in Seattle. And when I was a kid, everyone at that church, man, they dressed up to the T's. Had to wear a tie, had to look good. You had to clean up and present your best self to God at that church. These people were not clean. Some brought in dogs. Some brought in cigarettes, some brought in drugs, some brought in mental illness, some brought in rage that they had developed on the streets. And I suddenly felt very protective of a church that I have not regularly attended since 1987. We were down in the same basement where I accepted Jesus into my heart when I was 4 years old. And I felt angry when a pit bull lunged at the neck of another dog in the church basement. And I felt angry that there was a guy who went into the toilet for an hour, presumably to shoot up. And I felt angry because when I left from Seattle in 1987, there were a few homeless people around that church, and now there were 100 of them, and they were everywhere under the bridges, and it hurts. It makes me sad. It makes me angry. It fills me with all these emotions. That's the real thing. I felt angry that this is such a prevalent issue, that if you're going to live in Seattle, you either better be a millionaire or you better live on the streets. And I felt angry. After breakfast was over, I started cleaning up the mess. And I kept changing my plastic gloves. I must have changed my plastic gloves 5 or 6 times. And I kept on washing my hands as I picked up the rubbish left behind. I wanted to feel clean again. I wanted my childhood church to feel clean again. I wanted to go home and wash the orange juice concentrate off the front of my shirt again. I did not have any great spiritual insights in the moment, but later on I thought of that verse from Isaiah. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. I hoped to feed the homeless because I wanted to do something righteous, and yet my anger felt like filthy rags. You know, anger is just a basic human emotion, like sadness, happiness, surprise, fear, disgust. It's not sinful to feel sad, right? It's not sinful to feel happy, right? It's not sinful to feel angry, right? Sometimes you get confused about this, that the emotion is sinful. And the truth is, so often when we experience anger in the world, it is sinful, right? I mean, usually when you let it go, you uncork, it can get real sinful, real fast. Unrighteous anger can be loud, like when we yell, or when we argue, or when we honk our horn. Guilty as charged? No one else? Okay, just me. All right, that's cool. That's cool. You know, we're going to the communion table right now. You know, confession, good. You heard that before, confession? Yeah, okay, good. Right. I'm guilty. Unrighteous anger can be quiet, like when we bury our emotions, like when we resent others, and like when we withhold forgiveness from other people. Guilty as charged. Anyone? No? Okay, wow, just me. All right, that's cool. Unrighteous anger is destructive because it keeps us from loving God and it keeps us from loving one another. And we are all guilty of letting our anger go unrighteous sometimes. Everyone but Jesus. When Jesus healed the leper, he showed us what righteous anger really looks like. Righteous anger means being honest about your emotions. And that means being honest about what the Greek words actually say in the Bible. And it means being honest to say that every human being knows what it's like to feel angry. Righteous anger means controlling your tongue, right? So that the words that we actually let out of our mouth bring healing to the person in front of us, not damage, pain, hurt, agony. Righteous anger seeks to heal the broken person in front of us and the broken relationships that exist between us. Righteous anger should provoke us to get out of here and to change the world and make it a better place. You see something wrong with the world? The righteous anger says, I need to go do something about it, not just sit by and watch it happen. That's righteous anger. Provokes you to justice, right? I'm angry that homelessness has become an epidemic in my hometown of Seattle, and yes, even here in Mount Vernon, Washington. It felt righteous to feed hungry people. It felt righteous to talk to people that I would otherwise walk right on by and ignore. It felt righteous to receive their gratitude, their kindness to me. I'm trying to serve them. Hey, what a surprise. They serve me right back, right? Now, I know that one free meal did not solve anyone's underlying problems, but it was still the right thing to do. We can never save ourselves with our own good works, but we can find healthy ways to deal with our real emotions. I would like to challenge the congregation to find righteous ways to deal with your emotions in 2020. It's 2020. Let's have perfect vision on our emotions this year, huh? And find righteous ways to express our emotions with each other. Let God transform your anger into peacemaking. Let God transform your fear into sacrificial giving. Let God transform your sadness by helping to heal the pain of others. Let God take your happiness and make it go deeper by mourning with those who mourn, right? God gave you those emotions. And God will give you a righteous way to deal with how you feel. Amen.